Hello, everyone. Let's see. I'm going to try something. Just going to look at something here real quick. I had a setting, but that's okay. All right. How's everybody doing? Everybody's kind of coming in. Say hello. Hi, Kelly. So y'all can hear me all right. Some of y'all might be surprised to see me on Tuesday night instead of Saturday because it's usually Kathy on Tuesday, but we decided to switch this week. And so give me a Saturday off and give her a Tuesday night off. So y'all got me tonight. My hair looks especially gray today, especially white today, which I love my hair, so no big deal. All right, let's see. Participants. Whoever wants to get coached, y'all raise your hand. Oh, we got a raised hand already. Okay. Thank you, Kelly. You're sweet. Oh, we got a couple of raised hands. Okay, I'm going to jump in. Actually, let me grab my pen. And we will get started. Okay, Wendy, and then I think it's either, is it Casey or Cassie is up next? I'll find out what her name is. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, what's going on?
So I feel like that I've been in the tribe for quite a while, but haven't really been doing what I was supposed to. And then went to camp and kind of got things on the right track. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I feel like I've been really working on my thought work and doing, I feel like okay with it. But there are still times that things come up, I'm sure like with everybody else, where things just kind of slap you in the face and you kind of didn't even realize that that was like a trigger for you or an issue. But what I wanted to be coached on today is, I think one of the most anxiety provoking, and that's a thought I'm sure, mm-hmm. is my schedule.
Okay.
It's kind of crazy, or it seems kind of crazy. And for the pieces to fall in place, I have to depend on a lot of other people to give me what they need from me. And it causes me to go off the rails.
Okay. So I'm going to cut you off right there because you got a lot of thoughts, right? You got a lot of thoughts in there. Yeah. So you said for things to fall into place, I need other people to do things. Is that really true?
Well, for instance, I'm at work, I'm launching a new program and, I'm also working on, I'm in school working on my PhD. Mm-hmm. And so I have to like schedule my work around my classes. Mm-hmm. But they can't tell us when the classes are going to be yet. Mm-hmm. And work is saying we need to do this schedule for the fall now. Mm-hmm. And then I'm launching a new program at work and they can't decide what hours are going to be best. Mm-hmm. I also own my own business and do some education. I'm trying to schedule that. It's just, and that's just an example of what is going on right now. But mm-hmm. it's just like, it just seems like chaos. And I just, it just really causes me a lot of anxiety.
I think first it's because, I mean, you've got a lot of things going on, right? But they're all choices.
Right.
That you're making.
Right.
So no one is forcing anything. I mean, you can find a new job. You cannot go to school. You could do all these things, right? And so it's right. Like, get out of that, you know, like you're kind of a victim to your schedule because you've made all of these choices that go into your schedule.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of step number one. And then, but, you know, it's just like, but you said, you know, kind of for everything to fall into place, you probably have a certain idea of what that looks like in terms of for things to fall into place. But the reality, the circumstances are that you know information about this, but you don't know information about this, and you're just going to do the best you can, right? I mean, there are just some things outside of your control that, you know, you don't have all the information you need, but you're going to do the best you can with the information that you have.
Okay.
And so, I mean, it's just a matter of, I mean, you can decide that that's kind of chaos and that's crazy, but how does that really, really help you?
It doesn't. It doesn't make me feel well. And, mm-hmm. and today I had several urges to eat mm-hmm. things that I...
Oh yeah, because you were feeling, you know, you were feeling chaotic, you were feeling, you know, all this stuff, but it's, I mean, so let's just kind of work on like, okay, you know, you gave me a lot of facts, right? Like you've, you know, you aren't going to find out about these dates until this time. And I want you to kind of just write all this out, right? And see it in black and white in terms of just the facts of like, I mean, you literally just are not going to have all the information you need. And so you can kind of dwell in confusion about it, or you can say, okay, what's the best I can do right now in terms of managing my calendar until I have this additional information that, you know, that someone else is going to have to provide me. And, you know, and then, but then also kind of zooming out. And like I said, thinking, you know, I'm making all these choices in my life to, you know, to better myself. And, you know, you have all these reasons of why you're doing this. You want a paycheck, you want to, you know, pay your bills and all that kind of stuff. And so it kind of gets you out of that minutia of confusion and say, okay, this is what I'm dealing with. And this is the best I can do right now with what I have.
Okay.
So kind of what is, I mean, before we get off of here, what is, I mean, what's one thought you kind of want to practice right now with everything that's going on? I mean, I want to leave you with something that you can kind of work on and practice.
The only thing I can think of is calm, and that's probably not the right one.
Well, and yeah, and I was going to ask, like, you know, maybe not necessarily thought, like, how do you want to feel about all this, about this stuff, about, you know, what's going on? You know, is calm realistic to you, or?
I want it to all feel peaceful and mm-hmm. like it's very doable. Mm-hmm. It's just that there's so many unknowns right now that, mm-hmm. that's, I think, where I'm having, and it's out of my control.
Right. Really. And so that doesn't feel peaceful or even doable. Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and that thought, there are so many unknowns, that's a thought. You know, it can just be like, you know, I mean, I don't know. You might be able to argue with me that might be, you know, a circumstance in terms of like, you don't know this, you don't know this, you don't know this, but still thinking of it as just, oh my gosh, there's so many unknowns, doesn't help you. Right. So what can you think about it? I mean, how can you think about it to, you know, to just kind of move forward and not, you know, when you do have urges, not overeat and that kind of stuff. Maybe something like, you know, I will learn the information when I need to, and it will all be okay. I mean, it maybe just needs to be something really simple, like it's all going to be okay.
Okay.
Or, you know, I'll figure it out. I'll make it work. But I mean, are you, there any of those kind of resonating with you or?
Yeah. I mean, I've tried to think, you know, that, cause I talked with Corinne at camp about mm-hmm. kind of a schedule thing. And, she was like, you know, your schedule are just time blocks on the calendar. And so I try to think that as well. And that they'll all just sort of, there's only so many time blocks on there mm-hmm. and it will work out. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why, but today is just, it's just been kind of rough, just trying to, I'm still trying to process it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I think, it's just important to know that some days are going to be, different than others in terms of, you may just today, for some reason, you may just have had some time to kind of think of all the things that are going on. And that led to, some thoughts that led to some overwhelm or whatever it is. And it's just like being okay with that and being okay, let me just step back for a minute and, it'll all work out. It'll all, I'll figure it all out in the end. I will get the information I need when it's available to me. All those kind of thoughts are just, ones that you need to practice to just kind of get through until you can, get all the information you need. But it's kind of having, believing that it's just practicing believing that it's all going to be okay in the end. And also maybe doing some work on, like what is the worst that could happen? Letting yourself kind of go there. When I ask you that, if I were to ask you that, what's the worst that could happen if you don't have all the information you need all at one time?
Well, then I can be double scheduled or mm-hmm. I could, lose one of my jobs or mm-hmm. I could fail in school. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's, those are like worst case scenarios, right? Mm-hmm. But still, even if one of those were to happen, you would still be okay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, sometimes it's a good exercise to just kind of let your, you've got some fear under there and to let, what am I really scared of? What's the worst that could happen? Probably not going to happen, but even if the absolute worst happened, I would still be okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think just, I think like what Corinne said, just seeing your schedule, and I want you to go back and listen to this and, really hear your story about your schedule. And like she said, it is just time blocks on a calendar, and that's all it, it has to be. And it's up to us how we want to think about it in terms of, it's just something that, we have control of some of it. We don't have control of other parts of it, and it's all gonna work out in the end. It'll all be okay, no matter what.
Okay.
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 All right. I'll talk to you later. Okay. Bye. Okay. I bet it's Cassie. Let's see what it is. Casey or Cassie? Hello. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Hi, I can. Dave. You're sideways, but that's okay.
Okay, good. Okay. I'm in the car. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Could you maybe pull over?
Yeah, I'm going to stop up here, but
okay.
So I went to my accountability group and they thought this would definitely be something I should bring into a coaching call.
Okay.
So this is my first call and I started in January being in the tribe, but was a groupie 6 months before that.
Mm-hmm.
And I am the main breadwinner in my family. My husband's been disabled for about 10 years. My mother's currently disabled. And I find myself, as I've been talking with my group every day, they're like, as we've been talking through it, I just seem to have a lot of resentment. And I don't know necessarily anger's the right word, but, and I also, the job I'm in requires, I oversee about 400 employees ultimately. And I get a lot of resentment of when is my time? When is my, taking care of a husband, I'm taking care of a mom, I'm taking care of all these people. And I'm really trying to figure out, do I need to have new thoughts around this? Like, do I just need to practice new thoughts? Do I need to change my story? Where do I start to change this story? What is the best way?
Mm-hmm. Well, first it's kind of recognizing, why you're feeling resentment, right? Like, where is that feeling coming from? What are you thinking to cause resentment?
You know, I think each one of those situations is a little different, you know, like with my husband, you know, it's just probably more resentment that I have to be the only responsible person in the family, maybe. You know, I have to support the family. I have to take care of him. You know, it's not only time, it's just emotionally. I'm the one raising the kids. I'm the one taking care of the house. I'm the one paying the bills. I'm the one providing the financial. You know, I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are definitely thoughts that could cause resentment, right? And I think it's kind of getting deeper than that and asking yourself, okay, why do I do all those things? So if I were to ask you, why do you do all those things? Why do you choose to do all those things, right? Because it's a choice.
Right. Because I love them. And I'm not going to leave them. And I know that. I made a commitment to that marriage 25 years ago. I'm not going to leave. And maybe it's, you know, I think one thing I've tried to work through in the past is, you know, the dream of what you have of a retirement with your spouse is gone. You know, those dreams will never happen now, and trying to find the new dream.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't know how to quite get there yet, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of like not ever saying again that, you know, the dreams are gone that we used to have, because that just doesn't,
right. I mean,
just leaving that part out and then saying, you know, okay, let's build some new dreams here. Because, I mean, you know, every time you say that, every time you think that, every time you write that, you're going to feel resentment. So why does it help you to even, you know, rehash that over and over again? Because it's just something that happened, right? I mean, it's not anything that you had any control over in terms of his disability and things like that. So why would you relive that, the pain?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Are you there? I think you're kind of frozen. Are you there? There you are.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think you're back now.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I think maybe I'm just focusing too much on it. I'm not changing the story. And I'm just kind of reliving the pain almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's right in terms of, you know, really you're living in the past in terms of, you know, what dreams you all had in the past and things like that. And it's just, you know, it's like, okay, it's time to rewrite the past. It's time to and focus on the future in terms of what we are dealing with right now.
Okay. So really rewrite that story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it would be really interesting for you to rewrite the story as if, you know, everything that has happened was just supposed to happen. And that was the way it was supposed to happen, you know?
Okay.
And really just kind of doing that mind shift where it's just like, you know, any kind of dreams that you had before didn't even exist. It was like, this is exactly the way it was, but because it is exactly the way it was supposed to happen, because it did happen this way. And so I think for you, it'd be a really powerful exercise to kind of, because it's almost like you're kind of white knuckling through life right now, because you keep thinking this shouldn't be this way. This shouldn't have happened this way.
I never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, a really, really poison thought for a lot of you all is it shouldn't be this way. You know, like for you all with, you know, kids with special needs and those kind of things, where it's like, it shouldn't be like this. They should be different. And that, you know, it's, that just is, oh my gosh, so painful and such a waste of energy, because it's just like, it is what it is, you know?
Right. So when you rewrite the story, like, mm-hmm. how do you do that? Like, do you just start writing, this is my story? Like journaling it out.
Yeah, I think for you it would be good to write. I mean, and you can actually look, you know, go back and listen to this call and write the old story first. I think it's good to just get the old story out, you know, get it out of your head and onto paper. And it's really powerful just to see that on paper in terms of just you know, just seeing it in black and white and seeing like all the pain and all the stuff that you just have chosen to really kind of focus on for all these years, you know, and then, but then in the process to be really compassionate with yourself and say, okay, you know, I'm being honest with myself. This is what I've chosen to focus on. And I, you know, I love myself enough and my family and my husband to work on, you know, a new story. And so get that out and then get a new piece of paper and say, okay, what is our new story? You know, and start out with, you know, these are the facts. This is what, you know, this is what is our reality right now. And then decide how you want to think and feel about it moving forward. And, you know, and talk about what dreams you have now, what you want your future to look like now. And just write as much as you want in terms of what you might want to explore. I mean, just really open up your mind to what the future could look like now that you have this, you know, these circumstances in place.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can do that. That
so just like kind of get started on that. And then you can always, you know, post your Ask Coaches or... Yeah, or you can post in Facebook and get some more, you know, you kind of get stuck or you get like where you, you know, you just can't really get past some stuff, then we can kind of help you move forward.
Okay. And I do that for like each situation. So the one with the husband, the one with the mother, you take the old story and then create the new story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it'd be really good for all of it and for, you know, for anything where it's just, you know, and this is for everybody where it's just, you know what the story you're telling now is just, it's not working for you, you know? And so you can really do this with any kind of story that you're telling about a situation. So, yeah. So do it for all that stuff.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Yes, it's exactly how it was supposed to be. And we know it's exactly how it was supposed to be because that's the way it is. It's like her husband is disabled and that's exactly what was supposed to happen from the very start because that's the way it is. So it's definitely kind of a thing to, that you got to just kind of embrace. Okay, Lee. Hi, everybody's sideways. There you go.
Hi. Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
You look really nice tonight.
Thank you. I bathed today.
I actually did
actually not. I didn't. And I didn't bathe until about 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon. So call that a win.
I didn't, but it's been raining, so I figure that counts.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, what's up? Mine, so I am trying to tighten back up boundaries around time spent with people that I kind of spend at work out of like obligation.
Okay.
So students who, I don't dislike them. It's just, they spend a lot of time in my office. We don't really talk about anything related to the class. It's just more of like socialization or they have feelings about something or they don't like another class and they want to talk about it. Or there's a person that works on campus with me, but not closely with me, who kind of just wants me to fix this problem for her. And I've kind of been meeting with her to talk about ways to fix it, but I can't fix it. And also it's a lot of time. So
is it really obligation?
Oh, no. I mean, I think of it as sort of like, I don't want to tell this person something like, I really just need to cut back on this type of meeting with you because I'm afraid it's going to have like negative effects interpersonally, or maybe it's like the word is going to get around that I'm not like giving people, because also with students, it's tougher too, because I don't know where the boundary is between being accountable to them and just like, we have passed the point where you need me on this and I have other things I really have to do.
So, okay. So that's a big old story, right? Around you know, you got a big story around how much you need to help students, how much you need to help all these people on campus.
Yeah.
And so are you looking for me to tell you, yeah, that's what you should do?
No, I don't want the story validated. It's just, I kind of do know that I would like to start making choices where I have more time for myself and less time for other people.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm just trying to get from old me, which kind of was always looking for other people's problems to solve, because then I'd have to solve my own. And new me, who's like actually kind of enjoying more time to work on my own problems, but that's starting to make me realize, oh, I've kind of set up these habits with other people, and I'd like to start changing that.
So what do you? So what comes up when I say, okay, it sounds like you're going to have to start like saying no to some people, cutting back on that time. I see your face.
I'm worried. I just got an email from Coffee, from the woman that, you know, on work, and I said I can't, just because I just need to get my classes prepped for the summer, which is true, but I don't want to just kick the can down the road on this. I kind of just want to say, like, I don't know, that's not part of it. It's like, what do I say? And is she like going to feel, and also she's, you know, she's a staff member on campus and I'm a professor. And so I do have a story in my head too about, like, is this going to come across as elitism? Cause I don't, it's not
a class. You have a story about that. You have a story that everyone is talking about you.
I know.
All the time, and the word is spreading. And because I heard that.
I'm new here too. So that sort of does like legitimately worry me. But you're right. Even if they are, what they were going to do that anyway.
Right.
It's not like, yeah. But just sitting down to write the email to say, like, you know, I just honestly think like this is not, what do you even do? Do you say like, I don't really think we should spend time together anymore? I mean,
you do whatever you want to do. I have like a good example of this. So I have a good friend.
That would be helpful.
Yeah. So I have a good friend. She's a really great friend. She's helped me through a lot of tough times that I've been through. And she texted me the other day and said, will you help me with this school fundraiser? So her kid goes to this school. I don't have kids. I don't go to this school. You know, I don't do anything with this school. Will you help me with this school fundraiser? And I was actually over at Kathy's house in Nashville at the time. And I said, Kathy, I don't want to do this. I just don't want to do this. I mean, I love her, but I just don't want to do this. How do I say no?
Yeah.
And there's like no way other. I just said, and I was going to, you know, I said, well, maybe I'll just make up something like I can't do it on that day. No, she's my friend. I don't want to lie to her.
Yep.
And so I went through all this stuff and I finally just said, you know what? It's just honesty. And I said, and I just texted back, and I mean, I was texting and I was like, I just don't want to. And I did like a little smiley face emoji, and I pressed send, and you know, and then I just, but that was what it took for me to honor myself, honor my decisions and what I want, and let other people judge, think whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Like me, hate me, whatever they want. I don't have any control over that, and neither do you. And so, and then she literally responded in like 2 seconds and said, oh, okay. And she did a little funny emoji or whatever. And it was just like, oh my gosh, I worried so much about that. And, but even if she had reacted differently, I still made a decision that I knew was best for me.
Yeah, and I'm getting better at it, because I had an email for someone. They wanted me to interview their book on my podcast, and this did not look like a good book. And I was like, I'm so sorry. This is not in my wheelhouse. I'll put it in the inventory for other hosts. But it's one request by one person this one time, so those are getting easier for me. The problem with this woman is that she asks me and I say no, or I reschedule, and then she asks again. And now I just feel like I'm being unethical, because I'm not just saying like, listen, Kim, it's been really cool getting to know you, but I just don't know how to finish that sentence other than just every time to make up a new excuse and just keep this cycle going. Or is that fine? Because that's what I've got in me right now.
Well, and that's the thing you have to ask yourself. Like, is this fine? Like, is this part of, you know, is this who I want to be?
Yeah.
You know, do I like my reason for doing this or saying this? Mm-hmm. And am I separating it from however that person is going to choose to react or think about me? Because I have absolutely no control over that.
Well, and I think it comes
trying to like help them feel better. you know, by what you say, and those things are totally unrelated.
Yeah.
Unconnected.
So maybe then the answer you're giving me is I actually don't mind sitting down with her once a semester and chatting because I'm social, but maybe I just need to tell her I don't want to have these coffee meetings if it's just going to turn into you asking me for this favor because we've been over this territory. And if that's what it is, cool. I'll work on it behind the scenes and let you know what I get. But if you actually want to have a cup of coffee, then that'd be great, you know, but I don't want to have a cup of coffee so I can problem solve.
Well, I think you just got to like your reason. And like the whole thing with the podcast, you liked your reason for saying no to that person.
Even though I didn't like saying it. You're right. I did. I felt like it was valid.
Yes. And so so that's how you want to, you know, strive to make all of your decisions from that place of, you know, go back to that decision and really do some journaling about like, what were you thinking when you made that decision? Mm. And it was probably like, you know, okay, this goes along with my values and my, you know, all these things, right? And that's, you know, ideally how we want to make, you know, most of our decisions from.
Well, and part of it too is I have a did you say no to something today on my habit tracker? And so I was like, shit, this is something I could say no to that I could check off my box habit tracker. But of course, you have to like the reason too. So it's a combination of reasons why I was able to say no. And one of which is, oh, this could be my no for the day. And this is an easy one. I don't then have to say no to something I might actually want to do just to check off this stupid circle, which is an important circle because I know I have to train myself to do this. It works really well. But
I think you calling it a stupid circle might be fun of something.
It's a great circle, but sometimes I don't like it. But it's good. It's good training.
Another coach that I work with, she talks about saying no, and she just says it in such, it's like, I love you, but no. Yeah. You know, it's just like, yeah, but no. I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, you can say it in a nice way, but it's still no. You know?
Well, yeah, it's sort of like watching your thin friend eat. When I watch people I know that have really good boundaries, I mean, it's just, they don't need, no, I don't want to do that. No, that sounds, that does not sound fun. No, I'm good. And they don't make a big deal about
it. Yes.
And so, you're right. Disappointment is my problem, or is the person's problem who asked, not the person who said no. And it's not like I don't do anything. I mean, I suppose if I never help somebody out, it'd be one thing, but.
But really, I mean, wouldn't it be great if all the decisions that you made were, you know, were not to make the, you know, were not to affect the other person's feelings, right?
Yeah.
And they were just for you. Like you made decisions for you because if you're depending on someone else to feel a certain way, then even like when you say yes to something and then it doesn't turn out the way that you want, that'd be really shitty.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's emotionally draining because you're like there to help, but you're sitting there just the whole time like, I'm not able to help anybody when I'm in that place. If I'm not getting something out of it or I'm not excited to be there, I mean, I'm just a sounding board and they could talk to a wall at that point.
Well, you're just putting other people, you know, you're putting your, you know, thinking you have a lot of power over other people's emotions. I know you got a PhD and all, but you know, you're not that powerful. No,
I am not. Yeah, I know. It's the God complex. Okay. This was helpful. Like my reason. All right. I will work on that.
Okay. All right.
So much.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
I love her. I worked at a university for 15 years. So I worked with a lot of professors in that whole world of academia. So I know a lot about it. Let's see. Vic said, I started saying no when I meant no about a year ago after a super workshop on boundaries. It felt painfully difficult a year ago. No, now it feels so in integrity whenever I feel it and say it. Yes, I love it. I love it. It's just like, you know, okay, people, let's just get real. Oh my gosh, there's so many hands raised. Okay. Anne, Veronica, and A. Lawson. Y'all are up next. Anne. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
What's going on?
I don't need to share my screen, right?
No. We're good.
So I'm going on vacation with a very old friend from high school and her husband and my husband. It's an all-inclusive resort that I've been to before. And normally what happens is I'm just going to do whatever I want to do because I'm on vacation. But this time I'm really trying to think through it. And, you know, I know some of the restaurants they have. And so I'm just trying to come up with different ideas.
I think before you get into it, though, I want you to kind of check something you just said. Like, okay. Usually I just do what I want to do. Well, you're right. I mean, you're still doing what you want to do, right? This right. time, but it's right. just different, right?
Yeah.
So I want it's you different. To like just, you know, remind yourself that I'm doing what I want to do this time too, but it's just a little bit different. It's going to take a little bit of planning, but this is what I really want for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's really good.
Yeah.
So the resort is in Mexico. So little bit challenging for, you know, water and things like that, but not impossible.
Why is it challenging? Why do you think it's challenging?
Because I have gotten sick down there before. But I am taking some medicine that my acupuncturist gave me, and that worked the last time, so I'm feeling pretty good. Okay. So what I was thinking about is because they're, you know, the all-inclusive includes alcohol and the swim-up bar and all of that stuff, that what I feel like I need to do is get some, I really like sparkling water that's flavored, is go to a store, get some sparkling water, and just have that with me, you know. I also got some green tea that is just these little packets you just put in water. So I thought that would be good too, because that way I've got something that I like.
Now, are you going to drink? How much do you want to drink, or do you want to drink at all?
I will probably drink, but I don't want to be out of control about it. So that's where the 24-hour plan will really help me.
Right. Yeah. And so that's what I was going to say was that, yeah, I mean, because, yeah, there are going to be some people who just got a drink in their hand all the time, right? And so you want to have things, you know, water and things. And actually, I've got one of these, like, you know.
Bubbly
things and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But I want you to, there you go. I want you to, to make a plan every day, you know, and be real specific about how many drinks.
Okay.
You're going to plan every day. So let's get specific. So let's say, just say on a random day, how many drinks are you going to plan?
I would probably say two.
Is that realistic?
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay. Because I want you to over plan. Because you can always drink less, right?
True.
Planned. Because, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah. I am discovering that wine is a trigger for me. So I think there I need to kind of implement that I'm not going to have wine.
Okay.
It's never stopping. You know, the bottle's gone. So
So what kind of drinks is it going to be?
It'll probably be vodka and soda or something kind of like that, you know.
Yeah, I think it's good to be, like, as specific as you can be.
Okay.
And then in terms of your numbers, I mean, because, like, I'm not a huge drinker, but, you know, Corinne talks about her wine. I mean, some, like, when she's in Vegas, sometimes it's 8, 10, 12 glasses a day.
Yeah.
I mean, super realistic, super, like, over-planning, just so you can always be following your plan. And so if you're thinking about all day long at the pool, the beach, whatever, you know, two may be realistic for you, but you may want to just over plan just a little bit.
Okay.
And just, you know, and kind of see how the first day goes, and then you might adjust your plan the next day. But just keep it so realistic so you're not thinking about it and worried about it and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm also trying to plan what to bring on the plane, and so I'm not starving and I have something that I can eat.
Yeah. Okay. So do you know what you want to do?
Yeah, I have some bars that I really like and they satisfy me. So that, and I thought some fruit, maybe some string cheese, you know, stuff like that. That's easy.
And all that is like totally doable to bring on your carry-on luggage and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I think for you, I mean, you're thinking ahead, you're planning ahead. I think it would be really good for you to just kind of just visualize, right? I mean, this is what you're doing already, but you're just visualizing, okay, you know when you get hungry, you know what satisfies you. You know, you don't want to be buying a ton of stuff at the airport and looking at all. I mean, I know I like to just roam around those stores at the airport. I mean, oh my gosh, they got so much food and stuff. I mean, that's the whole point. There's nothing to do but eat at the airport, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you can even stay out of those stores because you've got stuff with you, then just, I mean, really visualize like how the day is going to get, like the travel day is going to go, and you might get hungry. And, you know, you don't schedule it down to the second, but just to be prepared. And that's great.
Okay. I did listen to Corinne's no BS portion on vacations, and that was really, really good. So. Mm-hmm. Okay, wonderful.
Okay, yeah, and the one other thing I said was what I was going to say. I'm trying to see with this. One thing that a lot of people do if they are drinking like a lot during the day is to, you know, commit to like I'll have a drink and then I will drink, you know, like a bottle of water in between.
Yeah.
Or a sparkling water or whatever it is. So you could try something like that and put that into your plan.
Okay.
In terms of, you know, like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. You know, again, be as specific as you can on the plan, but probably with your food and stuff, you know, you're not going to know exactly what you're going to be eating, but you can always say, you know, eat 2 to 2, make the, you know, make good, better, best choices and all that kind of stuff for each day on your plan. But really try to, you know, keep with the planning even while you're on vacation.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think you got a good plan going, and just let us know how it goes. Have an amazing time.
I will.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
All right, bye. Okay, y'all. So someone was asking, the chat is so weird. So there's a thing at the bottom, like the blue thing where it says all panelists and attendees or all panelists. If yours just says all panelists, only I can see it. So you have to change it to all panelists and attendees if you want everyone to see it in the chat. So like Wendy, Van, and Kathy, and Carla, I can only see your chat. Vic, I only see your comment because it's set to all panelists. So just change it to all panelists and attendees. And it's weird, like you have either on the phone or something, you have to keep changing it to that. So, but Wendy said, but I'll just read the comments. Wendy says, I drink club soda and lime when my friends are drinking. I do that a lot too. And I ask that they put it into the same kind of glass that they put alcoholic drinks into. I do that all the time just to have something in my hand if I want something in my hand, because I don't drink a ton. Yeah, sparkling water. They always have club soda. And so you can just get a club soda with lime. And it totally like looks like an alcoholic drink. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so I just don't know how exactly the chat works, but just be sure you're set to all panelists and attendees and then everyone can see it. Okay. Veronica and then A. Lawson. Y'all are up next. And then Julie is after that. Veronica, let's see. I'm jealous of New Mexico. Let's see. Hello, Veronica. you'll need to do start video and unmute. I'm not able to unmute you for some reason. Veronica, I'm going to take you back because I'm not seeing you. So see if you can change up your settings. A. Lawson is up next. Okay. There you are. Hi. Hello. Oh, I can't hear you. You have your audio settings. Looks like you're unmuted. Hold on. Let me make sure. Mine is good. You may need to go into your Zoom settings and turn on your audio. Say something again. Let me make sure. You there? Are you there? Okay, I'm going to take you back too, and you can check your settings. Because if this is the first time y'all have done Zoom, you may have to go in and like turn on the audio. If anybody knows exactly how to do that, let them know in the chat. Okay. Carmen, let's see if you will work.
Hi.
Hello.
I just figure out why my camera's not on, but
should be able to do start video.
Yeah, okay.
There you are. Okay.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
It's so good to be on with you. I love your coaching calls. So
oh, thank you.
I'm new. I'm April. I've had some weight loss. I haven't really been, like, I went to my parents, to my family for Mother's Day, and so I'm a little bit off the rails the last 3 days. I have no idea what's going on.
Okay, well, if you had to guess, what would be going on?
I might have a little gain back.
Okay.
That's what I would guess. But I don't think it's anything huge. But
what's going on? Like, why did you choose to overeat the last couple of days?
Well, it's like I didn't do 24-hour plans, so that was the main thing. And then I thought, I don't think I did. No, I don't know why. I mean, I just did it because I was traveling and I was overwhelmed and I don't know, all that stuff.
Why were you overwhelmed?
Because I drove down to North Carolina. I live in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. I drove down to North Carolina and I got to Virginia at midnight, slept, and then woke up the next day and drove again. And I just... there was like pressure to get down there because my niece was having her prom and we were going with her to get her pictures done. And so I had to get down there. And then I got down there and I had to leave right away to go to the Arboretum to like, take pictures and all that. And yeah, it was just kind of like that, weekend.
You just didn't choose to make it a priority.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I know. It doesn't take long. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I think I told myself that I didn't know what was going to be possible, like, because I wasn't in my home, I wasn't in my environment. But I generally know what kind of food my family serves. So,
So that was BS.
Yeah,
you were telling yourself.
Yeah,
that was excuses.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like what I told myself was like, I'll just eat when I'm hungry and stop when I'm satisfied. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of my plan, but it wasn't written down. Mm-hmm. And like I was conscious though, but like I would be like, okay, I'm not hungry, but I'm going to choose to eat this cheesecake right now. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's homemade, and I want to do this.
And I think this is like a really big thing for everybody to hear. Like, you think, oh, it's just in my head, like, I'll, you know, if that's good enough. Yeah. But there is so much power in writing it down, even if it is just eat 2 to 2 and, you know, make the best choices I can or something. Because we just think that we're going to do that if it's in our head. But obviously you didn't, right?
Well, I did take a little control, which okay. I was like, I'll make the cheesecake, you know, because we were having cake for Mother's Day. And I went and got, like, xylitol, and I replaced all the sugar in the recipe with xylitol, like, to try to make it a little more, a little less caloric or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, nobody noticed, mm-hmm. you know, so I felt good about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that what you wanted to do, or why did you do that? Why did you do that instead of just plan a piece of cheesecake?
I guess to make it feel less, I guess it's like that was why I justified having the cake, mm. you know? And, yeah, I mean, I layered a lot of reasons on top of that, you mm-hmm. know, cause like my father, you know, he's really not supposed to have sugar. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as long as you like your reason, you know, yeah. it's fine. I'm going to have like full on real, if I'm gonna have cheesecake, I'm having full on real cheesecake, but that's, you know, that's my choice. Right. And like, yeah. I'm going to have, you know, one slice or whatever, but it's like, yeah, I mean, you had your reasons. So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So where are you kind of, you know, what are you needing help with at this point?
Well, really why I called in was the void, like the negative self-talk has been really overwhelming. And I know what I'm supposed to do, you know, after it starts, like write out the model. Mm-hmm. But I guess because I'm noticing it a lot mm-hmm. more, it feels like there's got to be something else I could do before that, you know?
Like, what if there isn't? What if it's just like, I mean, and y'all, I have been dealing with this the last couple of days. I have been having all these feelings come in, and it's like, I need to change them. I need to change. I'm a coach. I know how to do this. I can change them.
Yeah.
And I had another friend who's a coach say, you know, no, what if you're just supposed to be feeling all this stuff right now and not trying to change it, not trying to, you know, white knuckle through it, but just be okay with thinking and feeling whatever you're feeling and not eating over it, right? And not trying to cover it up.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm concerned because I feel like, you know, I believe that my thoughts are creating my future, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why it's concerning to me, you know, right now.
But the awareness is just happening right now. So it's kind of all coming at you, you know? And so, but that's right where you need to be in terms of like, you've got to be aware of what's going on, of what, you know, of what your brain is telling you now before you can ever, I mean, you've got to be aware of it and accepting of it and not, you know, resisting it or just wanting it to go away before you can move into eventually, you know, some new thoughts and feelings. But it's a matter of just sitting with them for a while. It's mm-hmm. not, and it's not fun, mm-hmm. but the awareness is always got to be the first step.
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause I, you know, I feel like I'm a pretty self-aware person. Mm-hmm. So it's just like mind boggling to me now that I'm seeing all this stuff. But I also think that I had a shift cause I, you know, after I turned like a certain age, things mm-hmm. started to become different. Like I started to get like panicked about some mm-hmm. stuff, you know? So I think that it's new. It's kind of new because yeah. I'm like in new territory. And, you know, it's like, I think for me anyway, before I turned 50, I never thought about life ending. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And like now it's just real. Like there's really like, oh my God, this really is a limited time offer. Like I didn't know that. Like, I mean, I didn't see it that way. It just didn't feel that way. And I mean, everybody knows you're going to die one day. It's not like we don't know that, but I think there's a certain amount of denial. When I, at least for me, I felt like when I was young, I didn't think about that. It felt like so far away, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think like now it's like, oh shit, you know, like all this.
But you don't, I mean, what I believe is that all of this, like all of this awareness that we have and all of these feelings and, you know, thoughts and all that kind of stuff, like that is living, like that is us living. And so it's like, I think I hear a little bit in you, like there's this urgency now to, you know, to like, I don't want to spend time feeling all this crappy stuff. I want to get to where everything is, you know, rainbows and daisies for the rest of the time I have on this earth. When what if, you know, life, and this is a, you know, this is true. Life is 50% positive emotion and 50% negative emotion all the time. It's not 100%, you know, rainbows and daisies. It never will be. And so it's like, you don't want to, I mean, the thing is that you don't want to spend time resisting this negative stuff for the time that you have left. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, how about spending time just accepting that life will always be that 50-50 split and, you know, and be accepting of that. And then, because I mean, some people live their whole lives and they're not even aware of what's going on in their heads, right? Like how lucky are we that we have this awareness and then we get to work on it and then we get to, you know, be aware, but we also don't need to, you know, don't need to resist it. So, I mean, it's a lot to, you know, it's a lot to kind of process, but it's just like, it's the truth that it's, you know, it's all just, you know, living, it's all being alive. That's what I think is just, you know, feeling all the feels, the positive and the negative. And that's how I want to live, you know, the rest of my days on this earth. Uh-huh. is just accepting everything and being okay with anything that comes into my head or anything that I feel, and that I don't try to cover it up with anything.
Okay.
So it's a daily kind of reminder though of that. You know, I have to, you know, we have to keep reminding ourselves of that because our brain just wants to go back into the cave, you know, it wants to go back into this comfortable place. And it's like, no, what living is about is being aware of all this, feeling everything, just doing the work on a daily basis. And just, you just keep moving forward.
Yeah, I guess like for me, it's like the self sort of mental flagellation for like not doing this, you know, still wanting to lose, you know, this weight, like not getting like all these things that I feel like I kept thinking like one day. And like now it's like, no, it's not one day.
Yeah, it's here. Yeah.
It's like, yeah. So
it's just like it's here. It's a daily practice. It's decision after decision after decision every day. And it's just like, we're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of this messy work. And that is life. That is the life of, you know, that's a conscious, aware life, is just this messiness. Mm-hmm. So I don't know any better way to explain it, but it's just like, I'd rather it be messy than me be zoned out all the time, you know, and not feeling.
I guess anything. There's no other option, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the alternative. And yeah. So I'd rather it be like this and just me always be working on things and the ups and the downs and, you know, yeah, better than the alternative. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I guess it's more energy to try to like suppress it or white knuckle it, like you said.
I mean, we think it's less energy to like zone, you know, to zone out and to not, but it's actually more. I mean, if we would just accept it and be open to it, mm-hmm. then we would be able to to move forward much easily, but we think it's the opposite. So, yeah, it's fascinating. So, but again, all that takes practice, and then you prove to yourself that it is, better to be, you know, to live this conscious life.
Okay.
Yes. We got deep tonight. This is good.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Okay, bye. I'm just going to put deep here by the notes. Okay. Yes, Tanya, we are live. Vanessa, I just said earlier that you're setting to all panelists and not all panelists and attendees, so everyone can't see your comments. So you'll need to, if you want Carmen to see your comment, then you'll have to change your setting for the chat to all panelists and attendees. Okay. Angie, Tanya, and Miriam are up next. Gosh, I can't believe we're halfway done.
Hi. Hi there. How are you?
Yes.
I'm well. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, so I'm an April baby, and this is my first coaching or Zoom call or anything like that. So
good.
And I wasn't planning on doing this, but I happened to come home from work, and my little mini tribe, my accountability group, encouraged me to reach out. So
okay.
So I made a note. So my question is that I would like to learn how to either let go of or reframe. I have childhood trauma around my mom from she was fearful that my sisters and I, that we were going to gain weight. And so she would lock up the pantry and the refrigerator. And I don't think about on a daily basis, but I do think that it's kind of the root of why, as an adult, I never wanted to limit myself as far as food or deny myself extra treats or whatever, because I think back that little girl in me was, afraid of, not having, even though we were overweight. So we clearly had access to enough food, but my head at that time, I felt we didn't get very much variety, and we didn't have, just snacks available on the counter or whatever. And so I'm a grown up now. I'm not a little kid.
Yes.
Right. I want to reframe that. I don't want to feel like I have to be afraid of, and I've been able to lose some weight over the years, and then I would put it, cause I would white knuckle all the way down, and then I would put it right back on. And I've done that cycle for, maybe 8 or 9 years now, and I'm super over it. And so
right.
I just really, really, really want this time to work, and I want to I just want to learn that, how do I reframe that thinking that?
So I heard you say, and you may have already done some journaling on this, but I want everything that you just said, I want all of you to write all of that down. Just really write kind of everything that happened in your past in terms of, kind of the facts, but then all the thoughts you have about it. But you said, I'm an adult now, but, and I want you to finish that, but I'm an adult now, but what do you think about your past? Even though, intellectually that you're an adult and you can make whatever choices you want. Mm-hmm. What's after that, but?
Okay. Well, I go, let's say in the moment, maybe not right now. Right now I'm making plans and I'm doing a pretty good job, 90% sticking to them and all that. Cause I'm an April baby and I'm super gung ho.
Yeah.
But my MO in the past has been good to go for 6-8 months and then slowly start to teeter back to old habits. Yeah. So what is the adult? I'm an adult now, but I do think that I have this habit ingrained in me. I think I have a whole history of 30 years of not wanting to deny. Right. And so
right.
I think that I have to work on that muscle memory of the habit. And also mm-hmm. that's my whole point is I know it's here in my head.
Right.
I know it's not about my gut. Right. So,
and that's, and That's literally the word I was thinking of, like that so many of you all talk about how it's ingrained in me. Like that's, and that's totally a thought, right? That is just a, and that can be a very kind of poison thought for a lot of you all that, I mean, when some of you say it's ingrained in, it's like, it can never change, you know, it, I mean, cause that goes along with the story of, you know, this happened to me as a child. This was, you know, this seed was planted, you know, when I was so young and I've just grown up that way. But we know, again, intellectually, that we can change any, you know, any habit that we have, no matter how long we have practiced it. It doesn't mean it's going to be comfortable or, you know, or easy at first, but we can absolutely do it. And so before we get there, it's a matter of getting all of those thoughts out onto paper in terms of, like I'm talking about, you know, that this has been ingrained in me, that this happened to me as a child. And, you know, and that led to, like you said, 30 or 40 years of, you know, of this behavior. Mm-hmm. And so just get all of that out in terms of just like seeing it on paper in black and white that, okay, this is what I've done for this long. Mm-hmm. And then just to, you know, to be aware of that and just see it clearly. And then, you know, you can work on, but, you know, that doesn't have to be my future. And that doesn't have to dictate anything that I'm doing now. And you can, and then you can also work on rewriting that past. I mean, you can even kind of, you know, burn that piece of paper at some point or something about your past, because that all of that that you write down is just a story of your past that you have created in your head, that, you know, that your mother did this because of this. And I mean, you can just decide that your mom did the best she could.
Is it you? I mean, it's a story, except for like she has like flat out told us that's why she did it. So
yeah, but
I mean, and then at the same time too, like I said, like I don't think about this like on. I'm thinking about it now because of the like the thought work I'm doing with PNP and like trying to really get at the root of. But like I don't think consciously when I'm, you know, at a party and I want to have like a second dessert or something like that, I'm not thinking like, well, it's because I was a little kid. And I think it's like very unconscious, right?
Yes. And that's why you're working on being more conscious, because you eventually want to be at a party and be very conscious. And I mean, you eventually want all of your choices to be totally conscious, right? Right. And so, yeah, but probably something from back in that past, you know, comes to the surface when, you know, when you're not conscious, right? Like, you know, when you're at a party, when you're stressed out about something, when things are just, you know, hard for whatever reason. And that's why you do this work, is so that you can, you know, apply the work that you do when things are not, you know, exactly the way that you want, you know, that you need to, like you said, like 90% of the time you're good, right? Like you're committed, but it's that 10%. That's what all this work is for. It's for that 10% when you're at a party and you just want another dessert, when you are, you know, stressed out from work and you come home and you just want to, you know, eat everything in the cabinet or whatever it is. I mean, that's why we do this work, because I mean, you know, a lot of the time we're right on track. So, so to rewrite your past, like, yes, I mean, you have these facts that your mother said that she did this for these reasons and stuff like that. But it's like repeating those and thinking about those over and over again are not really, thinking about that doesn't really help you. It's a matter of like, okay, how do I want to rewrite my past? Not to like deny that anything happened, anything factual happened, but just what do I want to think about all this stuff that happened that will move me forward? And so I was saying like, my mom did the best she could.
Right.
You know, I mean, it could literally be like, you could just have that one sentence on a piece of paper. This is my new story about my past, is that, you know, I was raised in the best way that, you know, my parents knew how to do or whatever. And just like, it could literally be that simple, and you don't ever rehash or repeat any of that other stuff ever again.
Well, and that's kind of what I was wondering, like, yeah. I thought, because I just did the fat girl thinking module, and I was learning about the laddering thoughts and yes. the TDL and all that. And I thought, so because I was kind of doubtful. So does it mean, because I've heard Corinne say like, oh, like no backstory, you know, like the past in the past, don't live in the mm-hmm. past. And so I thought, so do I not even try to address this and just think only about today forward, or do I? That I thought. Well, I feel like this is really a part of the root of my.
No, like I was saying, you know? I think you need to just like get it all out, get your yeah. whole story out, and just be like, yeah. okay, I'm being honest about like what my story has been, you yeah. know. But also, I'm not judging myself for it. Like, it's just mm-hmm. a story that I've told myself for years and years, and mm-hmm. that's okay, right? That's okay because I, you know. That's just what I've chosen to do. And I think that's really key for a lot of folks, is to just be accepting and be okay with like the story that you've told yourself in the past. Mm-hmm. But then move forward and say, I can have any story. And like you said, I'm an adult now. I can have any story I want about my past. And it's going to be that my mom did the best she could for us, or whatever it is that really helps you. And then I'm going to tear up that piece of paper of that old story, and, you know, or burn it or whatever you want to do. And, mm-hmm. And then move forward. So yeah, yeah, it's just like rehash it one more time. and like, you know, again, come from that really compassionate place of like, this story isn't serving me anymore. And, right. you know, and I want to do what's best for me, you know, moving forward. And so this is my new story.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. I like the idea of burning it too, because that yes. feels like really like just like really like letting this go and
yes.
like no more, right? Like I'm not going to, you know, strengthen those neural pathways in right. my brain anymore. Right.
So. Right. And that doesn't mean that that old story won't kind of sneak back in. Right. But it's like, mm-hmm. you've got this new story that you can continue to practice. And like with the no BS lesson, like for this week, it's, you know, I'm working on believing, you know, those are kind of those laddering bridging thoughts where it's yeah. like, I'm working on believing that my mom did the best she could for us. And so you can, you know, you can add that at the beginning if you don't quite, you know, if you're not quite there yet.
No, I really do believe that. Logically, I believe that.
Yeah.
I think maybe sometimes the emotions aren't quite there yet.
Right, so. Right. But just the whole act of just not even, you know, rehashing all the stuff and why she did it and all that stuff, mm-hmm. that will be really powerful, just to leave that behind. And anytime you, I mean, but it is a habit, right? And so it will right. kind of come back and you'll be like, nope, we're not going through that today. Mom did the best she could.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Proud of you for getting on here. Good job. All right.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. Okay. Tanya and Miriam. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Ooh. I appreciate your time. I am really embarrassed.
What's going on?
I've been doing really good. I'm an April baby. Mm-hmm. I started listening to Corinne in January, like so many other, you know, women. I've done a great job. I mean, I really have. And so I've been participating in, I'm so sorry, this is so weird. I've been participating in the Queen's Club Challenge mm-hmm. with the daily selfies, which mm-hmm. has been different because I don't do selfies. mm-hmm. But it's been really good and very mm-hmm. helpful and quite eye-opening and all of the good feels, right? And I posted my picture today and everybody is so nice and so supportive. And there was a post on that just caught me off guard. Mm-hmm. And it was, yeah, you're perfect.
Mm.
And I, you know, this is, it's text, right? I took it. I read it in my head. I said those things in my head. I'm like, what the hell? What? Where did that come from? And it sounded derogatory, you know, in my head. It sounded condescending and derogatory and just judgmental. And I am could not be further from perfect. I'm doing a really great job on my weight loss. Mm-hmm. Just killing it. You know, clearly I've got some emotional bullshit that's tagging along, but I can handle that and I want to handle it. I called my accountability partner, my Marco Polos, and I was like, just a mess. And she goes, wait, you know, and bless their hearts. And I'm like, I'm not perfect. I'm anything but perfect. I get that a lot where people say you're perfect and I'm not. And I have my own problems. I have my own issues. I have things that are hard. I choose to make different decisions and different say different things to myself. And my outlook, right, on things are different because I make those choices. But it doesn't make them easy. And I was like, okay. You got some shit you need to talk
about. Oh, you're breaking up a little bit.
Hard for me. I was just telling my Kai people have said, you have to be the strong one. You have to be the one that's in charge. You have to be the one that takes all of, you know, you do this and you do that. You do this better than anybody else. So this one's you. Take up for your sisters. Don't forget to do this and be sure you're the one that's doing all of this. I'm like, sometimes, damn it, I need to be the one that's not okay. And I don't feel like, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Shannon, you're 52 years old. What the hell are you doing? But sometimes I need to be the one that's not okay.
Absolutely. Are you okay with that?
I guess I am. I don't know. I don't know anybody that I can't be okay with, you know, mm-hmm. other than my husband. He's like my biggest fan. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's just one of those people as his sounding board. He talks very little. It's probably a good thing because they probably couldn't get a word in edgewise, but especially when I get like this, but mm-hmm. it was just the weirdest thing. And it just came straight from out of left field. Mm-hmm. And then I was telling my AP and I did my model, which I'm new to models. I've listened to module 4, I guess it is now, mm-hmm. 3 or 4 times. And I've mm-hmm. got my notes 3 or 4,000 times. And mm-hmm. I tried to model it out by myself, but definitely did a big, you know, thought download. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that sweet girl's post put me in such a tailspin. It just caught me off guard.
So what did you come up with your model, like in the T line? You said you were embarrassed, right?
Yeah, is that your thing? I was mad. I was so mad. I felt like I was being judged and judged from, you know, a distance, an educated judgment and an assessment of what, you know.
And a lot of times when we think someone else is judging us, we are judging ourselves.
I said the same thing. I wrote it down in my team. I'm like, okay, who are you to be judging how she meant that post? Okay. And reading that in your head, and I was saying it out loud. And I even told my girl, I'm like, this is the stupidest thing ever. You know, it's I felt it. I felt it in my heart of hearts because I know I have never met a more supportive group of women. Mm-hmm. You know, I have friends that I've grown up with that I can't say the things that I say to people that I've never even had mm-hmm. a conversation with.
I know. That's what's so amazing about our group, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And I think for you, it's just, I just keep thinking like, and you're saying how this came out of left field and you don't, I just like, how can you just decide that this is like the most amazing learning opportunity for you? Like, this is the most amazing growth opportunity. This sweet girl's comment, like, what
in a way, I think
really
it is,
learn right? from yourself about this. Learn about yourself.
Did I lose you?
I know you're cutting out a little bit.
Okay.
Are you back? There you are.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. So this can just be an amazing opportunity for you to just learn a lot about yourself, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I agree.
And so I think for you, it's just like deciding that you can decide that it came out of left field, but it came out of left field for a good reason. to knock you in the head, right?
Seriously.
And to say, okay, wow, I guess I'm supposed to learn a lot about my judgments of other people, about my judgments of myself today. And, you know, I'm supposed to get to writing, and you already have, right? Yeah. And just, you know, this is like, it's so interesting. Like, a lot of times we just go along in life, you know, just kind of going along. And then, I mean, that's what that whole figure of speech is about, left field, right? It's like we're walking along and all of a sudden something knocks us in the head. And this is one of those times. I think I've been doing this work long enough where it's like, you got to realize that you got to pay attention to this kind of thing. Like this
is
supposed to happen today, and you were supposed to really grow from it and learn from it. And, you know, and it was absolutely supposed to happen. And, so do you think you've gotten a lot out of it already and you've learned a lot about yourself?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to keep writing about it. Mm-hmm. I just want to keep just writing about it and see what comes out of my head. Whoever knows, but I don't like that feeling of being judged, but I wrote down, I mean, that was my next sentence, but oh, guess what? Look what you just did. And,
right.
So yeah, definitely.
I think for you, it's like being okay with the way that you initially reacted to it, like the way that it was very uncomfortable and it was like a knee jerk kind of reaction, and just all of that, like, you know, all of that emotion came at you at one time and all those thoughts and everything. It's just like being kind of accepting that and being okay with that. And then moving forward and being like, okay, what can I, you know, and it's going to take time, right? I mean, you're going to continue to write and kind of process it over time. You're not going to have it all figured out today, but it's just like overall seeing it as, okay, this was, you know, uncomfortable. This was out of left field or whatever, but I am going to like learn as much as I can from it and grow from it and stuff.
Yeah. I told my accountability partner, we're on Marco Polo, so I'll post it up and she'll post something back. She's so sweet. And another girl that I have that we text, but I told her, I said, you know, I feel really, there's so much stuff that I'm learning from everybody. And I feel really bad and even somewhat guilty that,
oh shoot, you cut off it out again.
That passed out on a better me. And I feel bad about that. That, you know, why haven't I been able to process some of these things differently sooner? Because I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head, this little knee jerk reaction stuff that I have gotten so much better at today was like just like you said, a bat, you know, to the back of the head, but to the forehead, really. I saw that bitch coming line drive. But, you know, I think I have some even thoughts over this is, okay, my kids are missing out or did miss out on a better me. But I've got grandbabies and their adult lives that I can really show up for and show up for myself. So anyway.
Yeah. It's just like this one little thing just kind of brought up a lot for you. Just, you know, just take it.
Maybe I should thank her.
Well, that's what I was just about to say was a really interesting exercise could be for you to respond to her and thank her.
I think you should.
I'd love for you to tag me so I can read it and just really like explain to her, like, I mean, she probably, you know, has no idea. Right. And, you know, and so thank her and let her know kind of what happened today and what you've learned about yourself today through all of this.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. There you are. Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. So yeah, just thank her and really, really talk to her about kind of what you've kind of processed today and been through and just because, yeah, she probably has no idea. That was probably a very innocent little comment.
Oh my gosh. And the most supportive one. And, yes, you know, I know that their stuff doesn't come from place. So
yes.
I really appreciate your time.
All right. Well, tag me in that comment. Okay.
Okay. I will.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Thanks.
Connection was not great. Okay. Sherry, there are, I just kind of read like the next three people that are getting coached. But right now there are six people waiting and I don't know if we'll be able to get to everybody. So Miriam, E. King, and Tired AF, I love that, are up next. So we will see. Miriam is up next. Hi, let me unmute you.
Hi,
how are you?
Fine, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, what's going on?
Okay, so I have grandkids coming this weekend, mm-hmm. and I always fall apart when they stay over. Part of it is I'm just exhausted, mm-hmm. and I think, because they come for sleepovers, mm-hmm. and so I think that my defenses are down, mm-hmm. and also I have high anxiety because my routines are really, really disrupted. I'm new to retirement. Well, almost new to retirement. We've been retired since August. And so in the morning, I have my coffee and I maybe do my planner. I have my P&P stuff open or I watch Dr. Phil. I mean, whatever it is. And I have this routine and my husband tries to get up with them so I can get at least one coffee in. At 11 o'clock, I'm looking at a cold half cup of coffee. And so I don't know whether I'm tired or I'm anxious or I'm out of my routine. And part of it is we have food in the house that we normally don't have. So we have dry cereal and we have waffles and we have all of this sort of stuff. And then food that I normally don't take a second look at. Like we have chips all the time or we have maple syrup all the time. Or we have, and so I go into this, you know, just knowing my husband says, I'll get up first. I'll make sure I'm with the kids. They're 2 and 5. So they're a handful. And I just, you know, every single time they come, I try to get the right mindset. And I really have a grasp on the difference between restricting, and I'm restricting for my health and I'm restricting for my goals, or being deprived, like, right. Oh my God, I can't eat those waffles. So I feel that I really do have a grasp on this, but I'm totally, I have never successfully made it through a weekend, and they come at least once a month. So we're talking every 4 weeks I fall apart.
Okay.
So I need to know what to do so I don't fall apart this weekend.
Okay. Well, I have a few first I want to kind of, cause, and I can kind of relate to this because I babysit my three nieces every Thursday and, I have been known to overeat sometimes, you know, on those days and things. So I have done my work around this myself. But I think what has really worked best for me is that, I mean, so let me ask you, let me just kind of get you thinking about, so why do you have them come and stay with you? Why do you like to spend time with them?
Because we love them. And as a matter of fact, we put a bid on a house across the street from my daughter's that we're going to find out about in the next couple of weeks. It's in the bank's hands, so the seller couldn't say yes or no. And so we're going to be every day with them. And I think that I'll be able to handle that because that daily thing will be part of my routine. You know,
I don't think that's changing your circumstance, right? To be moving across the street from them. So that's not necessary. What really needs to change is, you know, what, how do I want to think about having them, you know, at my house and where I can still, you know, focus on my goals, right? Or I can still be working towards my goals. Right. And so kind of what I've done with my girls when I keep them is that, you know, I kind of focus on what's important, right? What is important for me to be doing right now? And obviously I'm keeping them alive, keeping them, right. you know, entertained if I can and all that kind of stuff. And it's not, I mean, and it's not about the food. Obviously I want to feed them and keep them, you know, fed, but what's really important to me during that time is connection with them. And okay. so that is what I focus on. But that also means that that day does not look like other days, right. other, you know, other days. And I think maybe for you, I kind of hear you like, you want to keep that same routine that you have every other day on that day, and it's just not working for you. So really kind of opening up your mind to like, okay, first kind of your big reason, like what is really important to you, you know, during these times with your grandkids, and then how can you adjust your routine? Because obviously your, you know, your health and weight loss is important to you as well, but how can you adjust that to kind of accommodate both? So what kind of comes up for you when I say that?
Well, I don't sleep with an alarm clock since mm-hmm. retirement. And I'm thinking maybe I need to and get up a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Maybe I won't get 2 cups of coffee. And it's mm-hmm. not even the caffeine. It's the whole routine of just yes. sitting and being quiet. And I think that maybe on those days I should use an alarm clock. Mm-hmm. The baby's never up before 6:30 or 7, and the older one will just keep herself busy even if she is up, mm-hmm. and get up and have that coffee and do my 24-hour plan or mm-hmm. do the 25. I usually do them in the morning. Maybe I need to do, maybe for while they're here, I need to do it the night before.
I mean, you could even do both of your plans. I mean, you could even do both of the plans ahead of time. If right. you had an idea of what, you know, what y'all were going to have, or you could even just say, I'm going to follow the hunger scale and I'm going to drink my water both, you know, if it was 2 days or 2 or 3 days or something. I mean, you right. can have all of that decided ahead of time where you don't even have to fill out the plan each day, or you could even just kind of spend just a minute or two adjusting the plan depending on what y'all were going to have, and just keep it as simple as possible. So all that is done as much ahead of time as you can.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the other thing is I don't do the crazy eating at night when they've gone to bed. Mm-hmm. And when you said I should be present for them, mm-hmm. it's usually when the cartoons come on and I go in the kitchen and I eat the waffles. Mm-hmm. And then after dinner, when my husband may be playing with them, and I go in the kitchen and I eat the chicken. Mm-hmm. And so it's real, now that you say this, it's just really weird because it's not like they go to sleep and I binge.
Right.
All during the day, every time I can catch a minute, I'm eating something I shouldn't be right. eating. And but I wonder if
looking
part
for
of that
relief.
Is, that's it. That's
yes.
it. I didn't think of that. Because yes. I was thinking maybe it's the anxiety, but I think it's the relief. I mean, they're a handful and I love having them over. My daughter doesn't say to me, can you take them this weekend? I mean, this weekend she did because they have a race to go to. But mostly my husband will say, oh, they haven't been over for a couple of weeks. Ask if we can have them.
Yes.
So it's not that we're being asked to do it and I don't want to do it. I do want to do it, but I like that word relief. I think, yes. so what can I do yes. to find the relief?
So, yes.
bag of potato chips.
Right. So, and again, I experienced this very same thing when I babysit, and I really make an effort to stay out of the kitchen. Like if we're not doing a snack or whatever, you know, like there's no reason for me to be in the kitchen. Right.
And love that. Yes. Okay.
And so it's just like the kitchen is closed. You know, I just okay. stay out of that little area. But yeah, if you're looking for relief and let's say your husband is playing with them, you could, you know, go into your bedroom and close the door for a few minutes and just, you know, or go into the bathroom and, you know, splash water in your face or, you know, whatever it is, right? Or like, you know, go and check your email or whatever it is that will just kind of get your, you know, anything you can, or, you know, or step outside into like some quiet, you know, really mm-hmm. kind of think about your senses. Like, what are you really looking for relief from in terms of, I know for me, a lot of times it's just the noise, right? There's just a lot of noise. And so I might just step into the bathroom, close the door, just do some deep breathing for just a minute or two. And then, you know, that gives me that little shot of relief that I need, that, you know, a bite of food would normally do. But you really just got to try it out and just kind of, you know, test it out and see what
right.
works. But,
and I think it's also relief from the chaos.
Yes.
Because there's toys everywhere and coloring things. And I'll say to my granddaughter, you can't take that out until you put this away. But, you know, the reality is, and there's two of them. So the reality is, and, you know, I'm so used, you know, since my kids grew up and out and this, you know, you just get used to a quiet, clean home. And it's just, I didn't even think about it, but it's also relief from not just the noise and the activity, but the chaos.
Yes. And I think it's important for, like, it is different, but I think it's important to remind yourself when they are there that I'm choosing this, right? I'm choosing for them to be here. I'm choosing this chaos because I love them and I want to be with them and I want to connect with them. And again, those are the kind of thoughts I practice where it's, you know, I'm choosing this because I want to have a relationship with them and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, so it's just like, it's different than your normal routine, but it's something that you're choosing. And so it's going to be a little uncomfortable at first, and it's going to be a little uncomfortable for a while until you kind of get used to it. But again, it's all things that you're choosing because that's what comes along with, you know, with little kids. And so it's part of the deal.
Right. So I think my action steps from this is to use an alarm.
Yes.
Because I think if I can just have some quiet time before the first cry from the crib, that I'll, okay. And I think the other most valuable thing is the kitchen is closed because the food's only in the kitchen. So when there's someone else, I run to the kitchen and I hide and I eat.
Right.
So if I just don't allow myself, and if I want something, I can say to my husband, would you get me a coffee? I like that the best, that just the kitchen is closed. I may put some caution tape across the door and the kids will say, Grandma, what's that? And I'll just say, she's here.
And I do like, you were saying, like, you know, when they're watching a show or something and like, sometimes you think like, oh, well, this is my opportunity to go and do whatever. But sometimes I like to sit down with them and watch the show with them. They love that. And they, you know, and that, and, you know, some of them like to snuggle and when you're watching, you know, and so it's like, you know, I don't have to do anything else. I can just be here with them and, you know, and that gives me some relief where it's just, we're just sitting and watching. I mean, I'm not even really watching the show, but it's just, you know, but again, it's just all kind of a experiment of figuring out kind of how to, because I mean, you're doing it for several days at a time. So you've got to, you know, keep your energy up. And the other thing is, definitely being sure you get enough rest and stuff at night.
Right.
Well,
thank you very much.
This was fun because I kind of got to think about how I do things too. And because it's definitely been a work in progress to kind of figure out the best way to, you know, again, it's all something we choose, but then we want it to go, you know, we don't want it to result in overeating and all that kind of stuff, right?
I will call you back when we move across the street.
Okay. we'll work on a plan for that next, for sure.
Okay.
That'll be
Thank
fun.
Thank you so much.
All right. See you later. Bye. She's so cute. All right. E. King. Okay. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. What's your first name?
Emily.
You're Emily. Okay.
Yeah, Emily.
All right. What's going on?
Well, let's see. So I'm an April baby.
Mm-hmm.
I did good for about 3 weeks. And I thought, oh, I was just hitting the stage two. Mm-hmm. Shit's getting real. But I think I've really been working through some of this emotional shit.
Yeah.
Which is good, which I need to do. I have PCOS, pretty severe case of PCOS. I had gastric bypass 12 years ago. So I've, you know, been overweight my entire life, done everything. Gained most of my weight back from the RNY. So I've been working the hunger scale, and I realized that I am not hungry when I thought I was hungry, which is a good realization. Mm-hmm. I also realized that I'm having a feeling or an emotion that I don't like or don't want to have, and I am eating to get rid of that.
Yes.
And I'm going to get emotional. So I need to figure out what to do. And what is that a feeling and emotion? What is causing it? I do have a Marco Polo group. Mm-hmm. Hi, Deanna and Kate. I think they're the ones that are watching. And they're encouraging me to do this. Mm-hmm. And I have, so Sunday night, I sat with the emotion. I finally was able to have the emotion. I have two little girls, so they were actually in bed. I could sit and focus. And I sat with the emotion, and it was rough, but, you know, I didn't get pregnant, like Karen says. And went through my evening, came to bed, did my plan, did my assessment, went to bed, and just was crying. Mm-hmm. At that point in time, I was crying about my aunt who passed away, and it's like her 2-year anniversary of her passing. But I'm wondering if, because I didn't eat my emotion, if that allowed the sadness to come through.
Probably so. Yeah. Yeah.
So now I'm doing like all day today. And I think you actually replied to my post about, okay, you know, the 20 chocolates. That's me.
Oh, yes.
The
okay.
20 chocolates on my plant. So I'm just eating because I don't want to feel these emotions. Yes. So yeah, I'm kind of stuck. Like, where do I, you know I need to feel them, but mm-hmm. obviously I don't want to. Mm-hmm. So.
So, I mean, you know, now you have some evidence that you can sit with emotion, right? So you sat with this sadness. Mm-hmm. And so what were you kind of doing when you sat with it? And how were you?
I was, you know, like I said, the girls finally went to bed. So I was sitting watching TV. My husband, I think, was putting the girls to bed, and I just let it come. And at, you know, at the time it's not sadness. At the time it's an empty feeling in my stomach, mm-hmm. which is why I always thought it was hunger. Mm. But now it's an empty feeling in my stomach and I don't want to feel empty, but it's not true hunger. Mm-hmm. But I'm 43 years old. How did I not know this? Like, I'm having this huge revelation that holy shit, it's not hunger, but it is this empty feeling that I don't want. So I stuff it with food.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, and I sat with it for 10 minutes. I got up, I, you know, came to bed, like I said, did my assessment, and then this emotion came out. Mm-hmm. So, and now today during work, you know, it was coming out and I can't sit there and cry during work or do whatever. So I'm just sitting there eating my chocolate.
So what else did you do besides, like, so let's say you're at work, you start to, it was the sadness again.
No, it's just this empty feeling.
That empty feeling.
And it's in my stomach, which is why I always correlated it with hunger. But
yeah. So do you know what emotion it was today? I mean, like.
No. And that's I don't know if the sadness is truly truly emotion that is coming out and it came out like an hour later. Okay. Or if it's, I don't know. Like, I am just dumbfounded that this has been going on. Like, all my adult life.
And you're sure it's not like true physical hunger?
Yes. I worked through that. It is not true physical hunger.
Okay.
I worked through that. It's not, I know the difference now, which is a good thing. That's a
standard. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's awesome. So, Deanna said, unfortunately, you just have to keep feeling the feeling. You just have to practice. And that's what I'm going to say too. But, I think for you, yeah, I mean, you have to just recognize that empty feeling and be like, okay, this is when I usually eat, but what I'm going to do instead is practice feeling this practice. And there's actually a lesson in the, y'all haven't gotten to module 5 yet, or have you done module 5?
I'm listening to it now. And today was overeating and the excuses and justifications. So it was it's perfect timing, which
yes. You know, I keep there's a lesson in there called allowing urges versus white knuckling versus allowing urges. Mm-hmm. And so really kind of what this is that you're feeling is like an urge. I mean, you feel that empty feeling and then you have an urge to cover it up with food. I mean, it's really an urge. Right. And so you're just going to practice, you know, allowing urges as opposed to resisting them. So that's what it is. It's resistance versus white knuckling is the lesson. Okay. And so,
write that down.
Oh, no, no, no. Hold on a minute. Let me just pull it up because I'm just getting all confused here. And I want to tell y'all correctly what the lesson is. And it's one that I refer to over and over again. Discomfort versus white knuckling. And so what you want to practice doing is sitting with the discomfort of this emptiness feeling, this urge to eat and cover up the, you know, the emptiness and fill the emptiness, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but what a lot of people do is instead of just sitting with the discomfort, they white knuckle through it in terms of like, okay, if I can just get through this, you know, I'll be okay. And, oh, this is so uncomfortable and all this kind of stuff. And then eventually you usually end up overeating because of it. And so what you have to practice doing is allowing this urge to happen and allowing this emptiness to happen. And like I said, you did it the other night. So you have mm-hmm. proof that you can do it, that you don't mm-hmm. get pregnant because you just allow that emptiness. You allow the emotion to eventually come up, which I think is what happened when you started crying and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's just a practice of, you know, like you're aware of what's going on, and it's just a practice in sitting with discomfort and getting really curious about like what is happening in your body. Because I mean, and you're already doing that. You just, you know, it's not physical hunger. You know, it's just some sort of emotion that's kind of manifesting in there. And you can, you know, again, be real curious about just how you feel physically in your body, because an emotion is just vibrations in your body.
Right.
And, but then you can also journal about it. You can just, you know, write about what you're feeling physically, what you're thinking about. And you can just start with a journal prompt, like, I'm feeling this because I'm thinking this. Or just, you know, what am I thinking right now? What's mm-hmm. going through my head right now? Just all of that kind of just curious kind of journaling. And, and then, you know, it always passes, just like with when the other night when you, I mean, you know, you allowed yourself to feel the discomfort and it eventually passed. Mm-hmm. It always does. And you don't have to, you know, respond to it with food. You don't have to, distract yourself, you know, and go and do something else. You may, you know, need to do that at first. And this mm-hmm. is not a perfect process by any means. I mean, a lot of times, especially at first, you're going to still overeat. You're going to still, you know, not want to feel it. And you're still going to white knuckle through it some. Mm-hmm. It's not a perfect process, but it's just being aware that eventually you want to get to where you can, I mean, it's never 100% of the time. But eventually you want to just be able to allow the discomfort to be there, allow the urge to be there, and then, but it will always pass. I kind of like to describe urges as like a wave that yes. comes over you and then it goes back out into the ocean.
And I'm just so used to giving in to that urge.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's just a habit. It's just yeah. a total habit of not allowing it. And so it's super uncomfortable to not just answer it with food. So it's just a practice in,
So sitting there and letting the feeling come over me mm-hmm. is what I need to do. Not distract myself, like right. not go and do. Ugh, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, but you were talking about like maybe being at work or something like right. that, right? I mean, and if there's a time like that where, you know, you don't want to eat, you know, you want to get out of the habit of eating, but you don't know what might happen in terms of emotion coming up. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're able to, you know, get up and go to the bathroom or what, I mean, you know, there may be at times where, you know, you need to distract yourself to just, be able to deal with it in the moment, but you don't want to kind of make that a new habit, right? I mean, you right. want to eventually you just still allow need to yourself. Feel it. Yeah. You want right. to be able to just feel it. And with practice, probably the tears and things like that won't come as much, right? Because I mean, you've just suppressed it for so long. So that's probably why you're getting, you know, tears and stuff now, because your body's just kind of releasing the emotion. But eventually it will be like, oh, okay, here's this, you know, here's this urge again. Here's this, these feelings. You know, I'm busy doing something else right now. I'm gonna, you know, just allow this, you know, and do whatever I need to do and just, you know, and just allow the urge. So.
All right. Well, yeah. I will look into that discomfort versus white knuckling. I haven't
gotten discomfort yet. Versus, well, and then, and before that, unit 6 is urges and desires. So that will talk all about like what we talked about. So yeah, those two, unit 6 and unit 7, I mean, the module.
And I'm at 5, so that would
be So you're right there. And yeah, and just listen to that. And then, you know, you can post and ask coaches if you have specific questions or in the Facebook group or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I think for you, it's just see this as like a gift that like you, this awareness that you've got. Right?
Yeah, I'm trying to, absolutely. Yeah. Like, I'm finally like, wow, this is amazing. Like the thought work and like those TDLs, it took me a while to do one, but oh my gosh, it's amazing how it just allows you to like flip it and make it more positive. And
yeah,
this is what I needed. So I'm so glad I found PNP. It's awesome.
Yes. So. And I think it's just, you know, being compassionate with yourself and knowing that it's a process and it's not going to ever be perfect. Right. And you're still going to overeat sometimes. And it's just like, you know, you can always learn from those experiences and move forward.
Cool.
All right.
Much, Bessie. Appreciate it.
See ya. Good night. Bye.
Bye.
It's getting dark in here, y'all. Let's see, I got my little light. Let me do this lamp too, real quick. Okay. That's better. All right. We got a few more minutes. Tired AF. Hello. Oops. There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi.
Hello. My first name's Barbara.
Hi, it's Barbara.
Today. I'm amazed at how, you know, every single person, no matter what the circumstance, I can relate to their call.
That is what is so great about, you know, this coaching. You can always get something out of somebody else being coached. Yeah, for sure.
My question is, I'm an April starter. Mm-hmm. And before joining PNP, I'd done well, lost about 34 pounds on my own last year, but it really kind of fizzled. I did lose several pounds at the beginning, but just fizzling. And I think my problem is I feel like, okay, I need to do the basics and, you know, drink the water and do the 2-2-2 and the plan and the weekly plan and that stuff. But I'm doing it all so imperfectly that I just kind of boom and then nothing works. But the other part of it, or the other, I guess, extreme of that is I feel like, for example, if I were to take the water, you know, I would love to say that, okay, give me a week and I will nail the water. Mm-hmm. You know, I will get it in more days than not. And I will do that until I'm comfortable and then move on to the next thing, whatever that is.
That sounds like a great idea.
Okay. So the reality is I'm not sure which way to go, you know?
What do you mean, like, which way to go as opposed to what? Like doing them all at one time or?
Yeah. I feel like I never nail it. And it's always a struggle, you know?
Okay. There's two things here. First off, it's never going to be perfect. Ever. Ever. And I say it like that because I still tell myself that. I mean, you are never going, this process is required that it is imperfect. It is required that you make mistakes.
But I feel like I should be able to, you know, I'd be happy with that. Let's just say 75% of my water's for a solid. That to me would be,
and that's doable, right? But I just don't want you to be thinking 100% ever, okay. ever. Now, I mean, you may, and that's great, but to strive for 100%. It's just kind of setting yourself up for, I mean, and I think I just heard you say, like, when you don't do things as perfectly as you think you should, you quit.
Yeah.
right?
It blows up and I get flustered and then I'm off the plan. And
it's, I mean, totally learning. I mean, you are, I mean, it's textbook, and this is that. And I say that because that is me. I call myself a recovering perfectionist. It was like all or nothing, black or white. I'm going to do this perfectly or I'm quitting.
Yeah.
And that is not how it works. I mean, literally, that is not how it works. Like, I've lost 70 pounds, and I have done that in a totally imperfect way. I had to embrace imperfection. So are you willing to do that, to lose the weight?
That really makes it hard. Yeah. I mean, yes, I'd be happy. I guess I need to get comfortable with... That to me is uncomfortable. So I need to get comfortable with, or at least accept it.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, and I'm proud of you for just admitting that that is uncomfortable, right? Because it's absolutely uncomfortable, but that, I mean, but we can handle discomfort, right? We can handle hard stuff. And, but there's, you know, there's not any weight loss plan out there that where you, you know, where you have to do it perfectly. Right. I mean, you can do it probably 80-85% of the time and still lose weight. And so, but I mean, but we're probably even less than that in terms of, I mean, it just, like, we have to embrace imperfection, making mistakes, and, but we're still probably going to lose weight. And so it's like, that's, it's good news, you know, that you don't have to be perfect at it. But it's, you know, but it's accepting that.
So if I allow for the imperfection or whatever level,
yes,
is it reasonable to say, okay, you know, do step one first and get that handled?
Yes. I mean, I really recommend that for a lot of newbies who, you know, and for me, I mean, that's kind of what I went through. Because I would try to do everything at one time and get overwhelmed and quit. And so, yes, absolutely. Just focus on one of the four basics for at least a couple of weeks. Get it nailed, like you said, like with water. Just get your water nailed. And again, when I say nailed, I don't mean 100%, but I mean pretty darn good where you've got it incorporated into your life enough to where you feel comfortable incorporating something else, you know, one of the other four basics in. So, but I'm actually working with someone right now. And I said, just for the next month, nothing else but water. Just focus on your 64 ounces of water a day. That's it. Don't change your food. Don't change your exercise. Nothing. And that is the way that a lot of our members are successful now, because they went, they took it very slowly. They took it very, you know, kind of methodically in terms of just getting good at the basics one at a time.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is enough. I mean, that's the other thing, is to just believe that your journey is your journey. Other people may be able to incorporate all four at one time, but your journey is to do it this way so that you will be successful in the long term.
And this is probably part of the same question, but what do you say about the urge to, like, restart and think, oh gosh, I got to go back to the beginning and restart the podcast, the No BS podcast.
Yeah.
Because I'm not getting it all, even though I'm not through with the series, the No BS part of it.
That's, yeah. And that's another way of kind of dropping the perfectionism, right? Where it's like, I am going to get what I, you know, I've gotten what I've gotten out of what I've listened to so far, and I'm just going to keep moving forward. I may go back at some point and listen to them over again, because you always hear something different, you know, because you're at a different place. But I think it's important to go ahead and get through the rest of them for now. And again, it's another exercise in imperfection where, I mean, I just remember when I was in college and I was taking these college classes, and I would want to take notes, and then I'd want to rewrite the notes, and, you know, just do everything perfectly. And it's like, it's, it's a waste of time. I mean, you know, it takes up too much time. You've got to just move forward with it. And then you can always, you know, revisit it later, but just move forward imperfectly. And take what you're meant to get from it and just move forward.
Okay. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. It's just it's a practice though. It's a practice. But when you start seeing results, when you start seeing the weight loss results, that's when your mind is like, wait a minute, I think this imperfection stuff might actually, they might be onto something here, that we don't have to be perfect to lose weight. And so if you can move forward in the perfection and then get some of those results, then your brain will start to kind of get on board and say, oh, okay, we don't have to be perfect to lose weight. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Good question. All right. Bye. All right, y'all. We are right at 8:00. I heard we just took a shower with somebody. Somebody asked, what is white knuckling? I keep hearing it. I've never heard it before until P&P. White knuckling is just like, you think about white knuckles, right? When you're squeezing, like it's when you're trying to, resist, like when you're trying to resist something and kind of get through something by resisting instead of allowing. So what you want to do with urges to overeat, what you want to do with feeling your feeling is that you want to allow your feelings. You want to allow your urges instead of resisting them or white knuckling. So white knuckling is just kind of the same thing as resisting. I know we're out of time and I've got a couple of questions here. Let's see. I would love thoughts on getting back on track when my typical MO is to fall off. I've fallen off. I don't want to give up, but I just cannot get back on track. You are one decision away from getting back on track, Becky. It's all it takes. One decision away. You are one 24-hour plan away. You're one glass of water away. You are one meal away in terms of eating a meal to your plus two away. You are one choice away from getting back on track. It's not like it's this big, all huge process to get back on track, right? It's not like you gotta, you know, listen to all the no BS lessons again to get back on track. You are one moment away from, I mean, you are literally one thought away to getting back on track. So it's, you know, it's just that easy. It's that easy. So, let's see. I sent an email to Corinne. Let's see. This gal has a question. I only have 10 pounds to lose, but I've had 10 pounds to lose since elementary school. I've been on every diet under the sun. I'm 62. It's exhausting. I'm very athletic and really don't like junk food. When I eat more than I should, it's health, but a calorie is a calorie. I was disappointed to learn that Corinne eats the same thing every day. She doesn't eat the very same thing every day. I love Corinne, but I think it's kind of a cop-out to eat the same thing every day. She really, I mean, maybe the same thing every week, but she does have a variety of foods in her diet. If I was single and living alone, it would be much easier to just not have any tempting food in the house. I mean, naturally, people just don't eat the same thing every day. I guess I just don't think it's reality to eat the same meals every day for a week. Not sustainable. That's your thought about it. It's your thought that it's not sustainable. A lot of people eat the same thing every day. A lot of people keep their food really boring, and that's just what they choose to do. But you can also eat different things every day. I eat a lot of different things every day and lose weight. So it's just your choice whether you want to eat the same thing or different things. If you want different things, then it's going to involve a little bit more prep and a little bit more planning. But, I mean, it's totally your choice. You can have a different thing every day, but you've just got to plan for it, or you've got to spend the money on it every day. So, yeah, and there was another question in there too. Yeah, so, you know, but you just kind of decide what works best for you. But, you know, you can, again, you can have as much variety in your food as you want. depending on how much time you want to spend preparing it and eating it. So I just decide to keep my food pretty simple. And I think Corinne does too, because she has other things in her life that she wants to focus on. And I do as well. You know, I have other things I want to spend time on. So I prep a lot of my food ahead of time. And food is not, you know, my biggest source of entertainment. I choose to entertain myself with other things. So, and food is fuel for my body. So, all right, y'all, let's see. If I'm having an urge to eat sweets and I'm white knuckling, I'm resisting and trying to fight it, but wind up thinking more about the sweets and getting irked. If I'm allowing the urge, I'm trying to feel what's going on behind the urge instead of going to the sweets. Yes. The feeling is then what's actually going on with me, and I feel it and kind of relax. Exactly. So when you have an urge to, you know, to eat sweets, let's say, you are covering, you're wanting to not feel something. So I think it's really interesting, just when you have an urge for something, you can ask yourself, what do I not want to feel right now? Just ask yourself that simple question. What am I not wanting to feel right now? And it may just be like discomfort for not being able to eat whatever you want to eat, right? And so what you want to do instead is allow that feeling to be there and not cover it up with food, not push it down with food. And so for a lot of you all, it's just the discomfort of wanting something and not having it. And that's what, Andrea, I think what I've talked with you about, right? It's like discomfort is required in this process to lose weight. And a lot of us have not, you know, had a lot of practice in sitting with discomfort. We've let ourselves, you know, we've comforted ourselves with food for a long time. And now we're uncomfortable in our, you know, in our bodies that are overweight. And so do you want discomfort in your physical body, or do you want discomfort in your mind? You know, you get to choose the discomfort that you want. Okay, guys. All right. I'm going to get out of here. And let's see. Miss Kathy will be on office hours on Saturday. Corinne will be coaching tomorrow. At noon. So we'll have some folks lined up for that. So, and then gosh, we've got Q&A on Thursday, and then we've got Weekend Motivator on Friday. So all kinds of stuff coming up. So, and I hope a lot of y'all are doing the self-love course too. So, all right, guys, talk to you later. Bye.